Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A proposed City of Fairbanks ordinance would ask voters to roll back a property tax limit. The ordinance to be introduced at a council meeting tonight says the current 4.9 mill-based rate cap enacted by voters in 2007 hinders the city's ability to keep up with inflation. The ballot proposition offered by all six members of the council and the mayor would revert the city back to a tax cap enacted by voters in 1989. An incident management team has been assigned to a wildfire response north of Fairbanks. The Alaska-based group is assuming management of the 600-acre Shovel Creek Fire, 25 miles northwest of town in the Murphy Dome area. Division of Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says the fire, which was started by a lightning strike Friday, drew a large response Saturday night as wind pushed flames toward cabins along the Chattanooga River.
Tankers dropping retardant and water scoopers dropping water. And they were able to stop as I think closest it got was a mile and a quarter from the cabin.
146 firefighters are working the incident, one of numerous fires, Mowry says, have been reported around the state in recent days.
Since Wednesday, we've had more than 80 fires, most all of them by lightning. We had a lot of lightning come through.
Mowry emphasizes that many of the fires are not being fought.
We're going to prioritize the fires that are going to be a threat to the public and to public safety and infrastructure and homes, and the fires that aren't threatening anything, we're going to let them do their natural, play their natural role in the ecosystem. And some of these fires could be with us all summer.
Mowry says Alaska response agencies are calling on in-state and outside resources.
10 crews from the lower 48, and we've got 5 more crews coming today, 5 more crews coming Tuesday. All our Type 2 crews in the state are assigned to fires now, so we're tapped out on our Type 2 crews. And all our agency crews are occupied with fire. So, we brought up another tanker. We brought a couple water scooping aircraft from Saskatchewan.
A change in the weather has helped suppression efforts in some areas of the interior. National Weather Service meteorologist Alan Hickford says a front which pushed across the region Saturday night into yesterday produced varying amounts of precipitation.
Especially in the Fairbanks area, it was pretty spotty. There were some areas that got close to an inch, and some areas got almost nothing, and that's just within Fairbanks. So it was kind of just wherever those showers popped up.
Hickford says a second front is currently moving over the eastern interior.
Some showers, could see some lightning, especially further east towards the Canadian border this afternoon and tomorrow.
Hickford says humidity is forecast to remain elevated this week. Fairbanks residents have an opportunity this week to weigh in on a proposed new air quality improvement plan. The State Department of Environmental Conservation is holding public hearings on a revised state implementation plan required by the federal government to address local wintertime fine particulate pollution. KUAC's Robin reports.
Last month, DEC released a draft of the Serious State Implementation Plan, or Serious SIP. Before finalizing it, the agency wants to hear suggested changes to make it more workable. Cindy Heil, program manager with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation's Air Quality Division, demonstrated the DEC website to find the Fairbanks Air Quality Serious SIP.
So if you go to DECalaska.gov/air is really the fastest. Here's our division webpage. We have it under Hot Topics, but one of the things we also did is we put a little link right here for Fairbanks PM2.5. Fairbanks, you guys are special. You can have a quick link right there.
She says the agency has broken the SIP up into bite-sized pieces so consumers, wood burners, and industry can focus on the part of the plan that impacts them the most. Then users can make comments.
We're highly recommending people submit their comments electronically. This is broken up so you can comment on the SIP, on each section of the regulations if you choose, general public process. When you submit it, it gives you a receipt so you have it in your back pocket.
There are other ways to give the Air Quality Division suggestions, including in person. Tomorrow evening, June 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m., there will be an open house at the Westmark Hotel with a presentation and a chance for individuals to ask questions. Wednesday, there will be 2 formal hearings to receive oral testimony. The first begins at noon and goes to 1:30. The second begins at 5 p.m. and goes longer, till 8 p.m. Both of the formal hearings will be at the Assembly Chambers in the Borough Building off Illinois Street in Fairbanks. In addition to writing on the DEC website or making comments in person, you can send them by email DEC.air.comment@alaska.gov, or by U.S. mail, Division of Air Quality, ADEC 555 Cordova Street, Anchorage 99501, or by fax 907-269-7508. Okay, now that's a lot of numbers. We will have all those numbers in writing in the radio news script on our website, KUAC.org. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Changes in sea ice are presenting challenges for polar bear researchers, the Alaska Energy Desk's Ravenna Koenig reports.
For 8 seasons now, wildlife biologist Todd Atwood has been part of a team that's flown over the Beaufort Sea during the spring in a helicopter, looking for polar bears. When they see one, and the conditions are right, they dart it with a sedative and land on the sea ice to collect information from the animal.
We weigh the bear, we age the bear, we collect a variety of biological samples.
Atwood works for the U.S. Geological Survey, one of the agencies that does research on polar bears in Alaska. The information they get through this research helps them come up with an estimate for the bear population, and also helps them determine if the animals are getting enough food or have any other health issues. But changes in the sea ice are affecting USGS's ability to do that kind of bear capture research.
What we're experiencing more recently is that the ice conditions are just terrible.
Atwood says that they're increasingly encountering a lot of open water during their research season in March and April. That creates complications for flying, and also they worry about a sedated bear trying to escape to open water and drowning. Ideally, they try to find a large, stable pan of ice where they can spend about an hour getting data from the bear. Of the ice they do find, a large part of it is now rubble ice.
Ice that looks like it just went through a blender.
Atwood says that rubble ice makes it harder to see the bears from the helicopter because they kind of blend into it. It also limits where they can land. These challenges mean they're sampling fewer bears, and that will affect the conclusions they can draw from their research.
There's probably going to be a greater amount of uncertainty with some of the information that we're able to provide because it's simply not going to be as precise as it used to be.
USGS is already changing the way they collect data for population estimates. They're relying more on making observations of bears from the air without landing, and on methods like biopsy darting, where they shoot a dart that collects a small tissue sample from the bear and doesn't require them to sedate it. And other researchers are looking into other methods.
There's some interesting work out there that suggests that collecting DNA from tracks left by polar bears in the snow might be a way to move forward.
But Atwood says that when it comes to things like the bear's weight, age, and detailed health information, there's still really no replacement for bear capture. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And I'm Dan Bross.